gooder and gooder. Amen. Such a wonderful blessing. I've stated repeatedly that we become overcomers by the blood of Christ that was shed for us and the word of our testimony. Amen. I don't know about you, but I can't forget where God took me from. And I can't wait to see where He's going to take me to. Amen. I have a little question for you. Has God done anything for anyone this week? Hear a lot of heads. Hear a lot of heads. Yeah. I ain't going there, JW. I see a lot of heads going up and down. Yeah. Anyone have anything they'd like to share with us this morning, what God's done for you? The little lady in the red back there. Come on, Connie. Stand up. Oh, you are standing. I had to one time. Okay, one time. Very much.
I must have picked it up when I helped the lady with her animal, and I brought it home. And so it got all my babies real sick. Mm-hmm. And so with the help of some of my friends, and they know who I am, they are. And anyway, they turned around and they helped me get the medicine. And I gave the medicine so I prayed to God. And also, shortly after they started getting well, the little one, Buffette, her mouth came wide open and she had an infection in her jaw. She couldn't close it. So I had to feed her and water her, and then she started closing her mouth, and then of course we prayed about it. I put on prayer chains. My animals like my children. And
amen.
So anyway, he pretty soon, after a few days, his mouth started closing. And then she had about that much of him. But she was eating on her own and she was drinking on it. Took her back to the doctor. The doctor was kind of shocked that she got that much close. He said, "We'll put her on steroids." So we put her on for one day, and then she broke out and she was allergic to it. And so we couldn't use that. So I said, "Well, God will take care of the rest of it. So we'll just leave her on Tylenol." And so anyway, he says she'll never close her mouth. About 3 or 4 days later, her mouth is closed.
Amen. Wow. Praise God.
So God works the wonders, I tell
you. Amen. I had a young girl in our church in Georgia that every single Sunday she would raise her hand and have a prayer request. A lot of them changed, but she always included one thing in her prayer request. "I want to pray for my three-legged dog." Amen. One thing I know about God, and that is if it troubles us, it troubles Him. Amen. There is nothing too trivial that God can't help with. And there's nothing too massive that God can't help with. Amen. God's Word simply says, "You have not because you ask not." You ain't asked me to do anything, so how do you expect me to do it? That's exactly what. Ask God, and you just might be surprised. Amen? Give Him an opportunity before you throw your hands up and say, "Woe is me, all is lost." Have you given it to God? If you give it to God, He just might have a different ending for you. Amen? Amen. I should have heard a bunch of amens on that one. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Turn with me in your Bibles, please. See, I got some scripture down for y'all today. I hope y'all got pencils. 1 Thessalonians. Let me try that again. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, please. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. When you get there, say amen. And if you ain't there yet, say, hang on, preacher. You want to use mine?
Yeah, let me use this.
1 Thessalonians, chapter 4. I don't know, it's somewhere near the back. I think it's 1870. Did we help you? 1 Thessalonians, chapter. He started to take his shoes off to count those. All right, thank you, Lord. Everyone have 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Now let me find it, okay? Praise God. Amen. God is great. God is good. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, beginning on verse 1. It says, Furthermore, then we beseech you and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as ye have received of us how ye ought to walk. I like that word, ought. Ought, is that is such a... that's a, such a religious word, theological word. Ought. Yeah. That ye ought to walk and to please God. So you would abound more and more. For you know what commandments we gave you by the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, verse 3, for the will of God, even your sanctification, that ye abstain from fornication, that every one of you should know how to possess his vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the lust, even as the Gentiles which know not God, that no man go beyond and defraud his brother in any manner, because that the Lord is the avenger of all such. As we also have forewarned you and testified. Verse 7. For God hath not called us unto uncleanness, but unto holiness. Therefore, he therefore that despiseth not man, but God, who hath also given us unto us his Holy Spirit, but as touchily loved, ye need not that I write unto you. For ye yourselves are taught of God to love one another. And indeed, ye do it toward all the brethren which are in all Macedonia. But we beseech you, brethren, that ye increase more and more, and that ye study to be quiet, and to do your own business, and to work with your own hands, as we command, that ye may walk honestly toward them that are without, and that they may have lack for nothing. Amen. Father God, we ask for a special, special anointing this morning, that you anoint our hearts and ears and mouths, Lord God. And Father God, that you have your perfect will. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen and amen. Verse 7 says, for God hath not called us unto uncleanliness, but unto holiness. Whoa! Whoa! Scripture says, be ye holy, for He is holy. Preaching holiness, teaching holiness, teaching sanctification is not popular in the church today because people do not want to hear it. All people would like to hear is a feel-good message. the feel-good message. Well, I'm sorry to tell you, but Scripture says there is a heaven and there is a hell. Some are going to heaven, and many more are going to hell. Scripture says that hell is expanding every single day to make more room for its newest recruits. Wow. I did paraphrase that. God didn't intend for any of us to go to hell. Hell was created simply for the devil and his disciples. But it seems like his team is getting bigger and bigger and bigger every single day. And I'm sorry to say that the churches around the world is adding to that number every single day. Amen? Because Scripture says not one bit, not one iota, not the smallest speck of sin is going to make it into heaven. Not the least bit of sin is going to make it into heaven. And because of the virtue of that, hell is having to get bigger every single day. Amen? People don't want to hear that. People want to hear that what they are doing in their life is okay. And their way of life is just fine. Because after all, deep down inside, I'm really a good person. I do good deeds for everybody. I feed the hungry. I help the poor. I build houses to the homeless. I give clothes to the naked folks. I even work in a soup line. And I give most of the money that I have to help those in need. That's a pretty good person, ain't it? But you notice that person can still end up in hell. People are under the misconception that hell is built and will be occupied by all of the bad, bad people of the world. It's a lie straight from Satan. There's going to be a lot of good folks in hell. Amen? A lot of good people are going to be spending an eternity, not an hour, not 6 months, not 3 years, but they're going to spend an eternity in hell. An eternity in hell. Why? Why? Because they chose not the blood of Christ to cleanse them. They did not accept Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. Had they chosen Christ as their Savior, they would have an eternity in glory. Amen? Doesn't sound fair, does it? It doesn't sound fair. But that's the rules. Jesus says, I am the same. God says, I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. He says, Lord thy God, I change not. So what I said in the very beginning, I will mean in the very end. It's going to stay the same. God says these are the rules. Lest you accept the blood of Christ and accept Him as your Lord and Savior, you cannot work your way into heaven. Amen? You cannot work your way into heaven. If you could work your way into heaven, God did the most despicable thing possible. If you could work your way into heaven, God created a most despicable act. And that was taking His only Son and allowing Him to die on the cross. Amen? But because there is no other way, there is no other way, He allowed His only begotten Son that whosoever would believe in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. lasting life. Wow. That's the rules. We can sit here, we can take a unanimous vote and say, well, I don't like that one, preacher. I think we need to change this or we need to change that. And it's really not appealing, because if we change the rules a little bit, we can get more people inside. Amen? Sound good? I didn't hear anyone dancing or shouting or screaming. I thought you were clearing your throat. You see, it doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what we decide to do. It's not going to get us into heaven if Jesus isn't part of it. Amen? But today, many, many, many churches have decided to do one thing. And that is to set aside God's Word and set aside God's standards. God's standards. And change things so they can get more people. Amen? A preacher allowed me to use a phrase that he acquired from somebody else that got it from someone else, but I still like to use it. It's not my phrase. More preachers and more churches are concerned with nickels and noses instead of salvation. Nickels and noses. How big is the offering? And how many people did you have in the chairs today? That's the only thing they're concerned with. Salvation doesn't matter. Sanctification does not matter. Be ye holy, for He is holy, is a thing of... It's archaic. You cannot reach people if you want them to be hit, if you want them to be holy. Guess what? That's a French word called garbage. It's garbage. That's a fancy word for garbage. That's exactly what it is, because God's Word does not say, He says, be ye holy. Whoa. Be holy, for He is holy. Well, preacher, I would probably serve the Lord, but there's too many rules and regulations. Too many rules. Yeah, my goodness. I keep getting tongue-tied. Does anyone ever get tongue-tied?
No,
just me. Thank you. I thought it was just me. He said there's too... Get hurt.
I'm sorry, it's rubbing off.
You reap what you sow, right? There's too many rules and regulations part of God's kingdom. Too many rules. Too many regulations. I can't follow them. Can't keep up with them. Guess what? That's another lie straight from Satan. Another lie straight from the devil. Because I have repeatedly told you, and I'm going to continue to tell you and tell you and tell you. Because when you stand before God, and I have to stand over on this side and account, you can never say, the preacher didn't tell me. Amen? God's Word says, woe to the prophet if he fails to warn the people. And I'm here to tell you today, there's right, there's wrong. And it's not difficult, and it's not impossible, and it's not hard to follow the rules God set aside. Amen? It's not hard. It's not difficult. It has one word. One word that covers it. And it's called obedience. Obedience. How am I going to obey what I don't know? God thought that out. Amen? He thought that out. He didn't leave you on your own to do it. And He didn't even leave me to follow you around and say, I don't have to follow you and do that. Because He gave inside you. The moment you accept Christ as your Lord and Savior, He gave you a watchdog. And I don't mean that disrespectfully. But He instilled inside you the moment you got saved part of Him. And that is His Holy Spirit. The Spirit of God residing inside you. You didn't know that, did you? So next time you want to go do something, next time you want to creep into a bar, or next time you want to go back and smoke some of that funky stuff, or do some of this, or do some of that, you're taking God with you. Yeah. Yeah, that's true. God is inside you, guiding you, directing you. The Holy Spirit of God resides inside His children. To tell you, don't do this, don't do that. Turn the other way. You have a decision to make. The Holy Spirit of God will say, Bubba, or Bubette, whichever one it may be. Don't go right, turn left. So I go down and I... Whoops, whose fault is that? It's my fault because I don't listen to that which He already instilled inside me. Amen? God never expected us to make all the decisions. He expected us and asked us, pay attention to what I'm telling you. Amen? I've given you what you need. He even gave the Spirit of God inside you to understand the words that are in here. Repeatedly I hear people say, well, I can't understand what that word is saying. Did you ever stop to pray a little bit? Ask the Spirit to reveal to you what's in God's Word. Give me understanding, Lord, of Your Word. Tell you what, if you will try that, and if you will do that, there'll be no excuse. I don't understand that version. No, pick up God's Word. There's only about 40 or 50 different versions of the Bible written in saying the same thing in different words, but it says the same thing. So there's lots of Bibles out there to get your understanding. But it's the Holy Spirit of God that reveals to you what it really means. Amen? He's the one that does it. And if you don't pray and you're just picking up a Bible and reading it, you're not going to have the understanding that you need. Pray, Lord, show me what I need. You see, God's self will teach you how to be ye holy, for He is holy. It's not difficult. The difficulty is listening. Who that? Don't tell me y'all ain't done that. Yeah. Is that you, Lord? Is that you? Guess what? How many people in here have a mother? Or had a mother? I thought... that's what J.W. told me, but I didn't believe him. Okay? Trust the Spirit, not...
I know.
I can guarantee you that by the time you were 3-4 years old, your mother could be on the other side of the room, hello, in a play school with 40. Your mother could be on the other side of the room, and all she had to do was none of the other kids are going to look. But by the time you're 3 or 4 years old, you know what your mama voice sounds like, right? You know. You know what it sounds like. That's because you have listened to the voice. You have sought the voice. And you know what's going to happen if you turn your head around and ignore her, huh? She will have a tendency to get your attention. I've still got knots from attention from my granny. My granny had a wooden spoon. I still got a few back there. I'm not going to say I deserved them, but you know, the problem is God, when the Spirit of God is telling us and guiding us, directing us, we're not accustomed to listening to the voice. We're not accustomed to listening to who that is. Why? Because we're too busy. We're too busy doing this. We're too busy doing that. We say, okay, Jesus, save me. And He does. And then we pick the Jesus up and we set Him up on the shelf. I'll come back to you next time I need you. The problem is the Spirit of God goes with us and stays with us. And we have to learn to listen to His voice as He's guiding us, directing us. How do I get to heaven? Oh, that's easy. Go to the light, turn right, and keep straight. Sound right? But you can only do that by the Spirit of God guiding you and directing you. You must. It's imperative. It's imperative that you learn to listen to He that is inside you. God's Word says, greater is He that's in me than he that's out there in the world. You have to get used to listening to what God is telling you to do. Too many times when the Spirit of God is trying to guide us and trying to protect us, and even when the preacher is trying to talk to us, too many times we sit there and, I can't hear you. We do that. We repeatedly do that. And then when we get into tight and we get into trouble, we want to say, God, where were you? I was back here where you left me. I've been sitting back here trying to guide you and direct you, but I can't talk to you when you got some fingers in your ears. Amen? We must listen to what God wants us to do. He wants us to be sanctified, wants us to be holy. And the only way we can be holy is listen to Him that resides inside us. Listen to the Spirit of God that will guide you, direct you. I'm here to tell you today that God will never mislead you. Amen. He will never guide you in the wrong direction. He will never tell you to do something that is contrary to what He wants you to do. If God says, go up on the top of that tree and hang on that branch, He's not calling you up there just to cut that branch off. He has a meaning behind it. He has a mission for you when He tells you to go up there and hang on that branch. Don't ask me what it is. He ain't talking to you. Right? God will show you. God will tell you. But not necessarily when you want it. He wants you to have the faith to believe and trust in Him. He may tell you ahead of time why. But then again, He just may not. He just may not tell you why He wants you up there on the top of that tree hanging onto a branch. But maybe if you hang up there long enough, you stay there long enough, He just might let you know what's going on. Amen? Let's take a famous character in the Bible. Going back to the book of Genesis. Let's look at a man called Joseph. Let's talk about Joseph. Joseph had him a whole slew of brothers. His daddy was kind of partial to him. When daddies or mamas are partial to one child, it kind of gets a bit of resentment in the others. Amen? Amen. Some of the older ones know that. Amen. Yeah. God showed him that He had great plans for him. great plans for your future. He showed him where he was at and showed him where you're going to be at the end. Wow! I'll show you what's going to happen in the end. God did what He typically does. He hid the middle from him. Because when Joseph went and shared with his brothers, look at this. There's my sheep, there's your sheep. All your sheep are going to bow down to me. And the brothers say, so, well, let's get this straight. We are going to bow down to you? Ha, ha, ha. I think not. It created resentment in him. But God told him this is what's going to happen. They took, threw him in a hole, clean head, sold him off in slavery to the slave traders, and ran home and told, Daddy, Daddy, your favorite boy got eaten by the animals. Wow. God didn't tell him that he was going to be sold into slavery. Continuing on the story, God didn't tell him that he was going to end up in prison for falsely being accused of doing something by the master's wife. Amen? Never told him that. Never told him that. God never told him that he was going to have to work in the dungeons to be in the highest in Pharaoh's kingdom. Being only second only to Pharaoh himself. Then his brothers showed up because they were starving and he was able to save his brothers. And they worshipped him. Wow. See, God never showed him all that stuff that was in the middle, amen? But God told him, says, this is where I'm going to take you. But sometimes it's nice to know that God don't tell us all the details. Because had Joseph had knew all the stuff he was going to go through, see, it took 40 years. It took 40 years for him to, from the time he was told until the reality, was ballpark 40 years. Wow. But see, if God was to tell you that what I promised you isn't going to happen until you're 65 years old, some of us just might say, wow. Wow. Let's find another way. Mm-hmm. But God has different plans for us. Amen. We just need to listen. And we need to take it on faith. I believe what you say, Lord. Is it all right to say, Lord, I wish this would really hurry up and get here? Yeah, it's probably okay to say that. Is that going to hurry it up? No. Because everything's going to be in God's time. It's going to be in God's time. And sometimes as time goes on, we begin to think, woe is me. Why hast thou forsaken me? Why have you left me alone? Wow. God said He will never forsake you or otherwise cast you out. Hard to believe, isn't it? Even though it seems like you're super, super, super alone, God says, I'm never going to leave you alone. I'm going to be right there. I'm still going to hang on inside you. And I'm going to guide you and direct you. All you need to do is start listening. Listening, as Scripture says with Elijah, to that still, small voice. Sometimes we can hear pretty good if the preacher stands up and yells, right? If he screams at us now and then, or if he beats on a drum. But how about when the preacher gets nice and soft? How about when God is just barely whispering to you? When He's talking so so softly that we can barely hear. He's so soft and so quiet that we can drop a pin and hear it. How about the times when His voice just barely cracks? Are we listening to Him then? God's Word says, be still and know that I'm the Lord. Sometimes we need to slow down a little bit. Sometimes we need to clear our heads. Sometimes we need to stop and listen to those still, small voices of God. Amen? Because Scripture says He's not always in the thunder. He's not always in the lightning. He's not always in the earth shaking. He's in that still, small voice. And God, when He's speaking, He speaks to you in such a way that if you're listening, you're going to hear it. Amen? Example, when your mama was on the other side of the room and feared her voice, you know it was her. You know it was her. You know God's voice if you're accustomed to it. My sheep know my voice, and to no other will they listen. But you see, that only happens. That only happens after you listen to Him, after you listen to Him, after you listen to Him. You get accustomed to knowing this is God. And sometimes we can tell other people, your mama's over there calling you. Sometimes we can do that. But God wants us to get to listening to Him. And we obey. And guess what? If we listen to God, we obey what that still, small voice is telling us, we're going to come out all right. Amen? Not necessarily when you expect it, but in God's time. Amen? I got two more scriptures that I really want to share with you this morning. Proverbs chapter 3. Proverbs chapter 3. I like to read it to you. Proverbs chapter 3. I only got a couple. See, I got it highlighted in mine. That must be one of my favorites. Actually, I think I had everything highlighted in my other Bible and wore it out, and I'm re-highlighting new ones in this Bible. That's got pages falling out in the back. Praise God. Proverbs chapter 3, beginning on verse 5. If you don't have this highlighted, highlight it in your Bibles. Oh, it's okay to write in your Bibles. Beginning on verse 5. Trust in the Lord with all of thy heart and lean not unto your own understanding. Wow. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Wow. What part of all don't we understand? Not just in some of your ways, but He'll direct you in all of your ways. Every single thing. Whatever decisions you have to make, what did that just say? He shall direct your path. That is if, there's a qualifier there, okay? Trust in the Lord with all of your heart and lean not unto your own understanding. Do it God's way. And in all your ways, acknowledge Him. And then He's going to direct your path. Amen? That's a promise. That's a promise. There are thousands and thousands of promises in God's Word. thousands and thousands of promises in God's Word. That is one of them. I'll direct you. All you got to do is listen. Amen? I want you to go back one more, or forward one more. Go on past Hosea, back into the lesser prophets right before Amos. Go to the book of Joel. Joel. J-O-E-L. Whichever way you want to say it. Joel or Joel. It'll be right near one of the last chapters of the Old Testament. It's about four or five small chapters there. You go Daniel, then Hosea, then Joel. Everyone have it? Chapter 2. To start with, the book of Joel starts out in chapter 1 saying how bad and how hard everything is. It's I guess in today's terms you would call it, it's a downer chapter. It takes you low and then lower and then lower and then lower. He's describing how God allowed the locust to come in and eat everything. And then when the locusts had eaten everything, another batch of locusts came in and ate what was left. When they got full, they left, and another herd of locusts came in and ate whatever was possibly left. Okay? And he continues that same thought in chapter 2. But amazingly, let's turn to verse 25, chapter 2, verse 25. God speaking, verse 25. God says, "And I will restore to you the years that the locust hath eaten, and the cankerworm, and the caterpillars, and the palmer worm, my great army which I sent among you. And ye shall eat in plenty and be satisfied, and praise the name of the Lord your God that hath dealt wondrously with you. And my people shall never be ashamed." Verse 27. "And ye shall know that I am in the midst of Israel, and that I am the Lord your God, and none else. And my people shall never be ashamed." Let me translate that for you out of Pastor G's Book of Wisdom. There comes times in our walk with God where it seems like every single thing I touch is going wrong. Doesn't matter how hard I try. One tragedy follows another tragedy, follows another tragedy, follows another tragedy. Do I hear an amen on that? It seems like that happens sometimes. One animal gets sick, another animal gets sick, another animal gets sick. I get this one healthy, something else happens. Amen. I satisfy this bill collector, another bill collector comes. Amen. It seems like that is happening. Things get worse and worse and worse and worse. But God says, verse 25, He says, when all this has gone by, He says, I'm going to be standing there beside you. And not only am I going to be standing beside you, I'm going to restore to you everything that's been taken from you. Anyone ever lost their joy? Uh-huh. Well, to start with, you can't lose it. Nobody can take your joy. Nobody can take your happiness. Nobody can take your satisfaction. But we can sure give it away. Amen? Satan can't take your joy, can't take your happiness. But we sure have a tendency to give it to him on a platter. Amen? Give me a better amen than that.
Amen.
Amen. We give it to him. And then we want to blame God for this happening, that happening. God simply says it doesn't matter what happens to you. I am right there. I am right there to help you out. And not only that, the book of Job. Job had every single thing in the world taken from him. Except his wife. Took his kids, took his lands, took his cattle, took everything. But he left him his precious wife. And she gave him wonderful advice. He says, Job, why don't you curse God and die? That's not really the advice that I need, honey. But in the end, God was there with him. Did you use those words? Oh, no. I'm joking. I'm just joshing. But you see, sometimes God allows things to happen to us. And sometimes we put ourselves in a position to allow things to happen to us. But regardless, God is right there to help us out. God says He will not put more upon you than that which you're able to stand. And He says when it really gets tough, He says, I'll be right there to show you a way to escape. Remember that. Remember that. When the times get hard, hang in there. Hang in there. Because God says He's going to restore. He restored Job and gave Job in the end twice as much as what he had in the beginning. Amen? God will restore to you whatever Satan's taken. If you faint not, if you don't get tired, if you don't get lazy, if. You see, that big if is one of the most powerful words in the Bible. If. Two letters. If you have faith, if you trust in God, if you obey the Holy Spirit, if you don't get tired and fall by the wayside. Amen? Has anyone ever thrown your hands up on anything? I quit. Yeah. That's exactly what Satan wants you to do. Quit. Amen? Satan can't take your salvation, but he can sure stop you from taking anyone else with you. Amen? He can stop you from taking anyone with you. He can ruin your testimony. He can have you sitting over in the corner going, woe is me. Singing that great Christian hymn. Gloom, despair, agony for all. If I had no bad luck, I'd have no luck at all. We sing that. Maybe not those exact words, but the theme is the same. The theme's the same. When things get tough and times get hard, that's when we need to sing the loudest. That's when we need to say, praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. This is going to pass because you said, I'm more than an overcomer. You said that you're going to restore it. Let them have it. You're going to give me gooder stuff. Amen. Trust in God and God will give you this strength. God will show you through His Holy Spirit how to be holy. Amen. All He wants us to do is to trust and obey. There's no other way to be happy in Jesus but to trust and obey. Amen. Trust Him, believe Him. Stand with me, please. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father God, we thank you, we praise you, we love you. And we know by Him that resides in us that He is so much greater than anything Satan can throw at us. We know that we can in fact do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens us. We know that you shall restore those things that have been stolen. You shall renew our spirit that gets low sometimes, Lord God. You shall restore. You shall restore. You shall restore. You're going to bring to us all of those things, Lord. Father God, I pray and I ask that we as individuals learn to listen to that still small voice that resides with us. That still small voice that teaches us right from wrong, the right path from the wrong path. That still small voice that teaches us when to speak up and when to shut up. Which path to take and which path to run from. Let us listen so we too can be holy, holy, holy. God, we thank you. We praise you. We love you. As we go out there this week, I ask, Father God, that you instill a hunger inside each and every one of us. A hunger to devour your word, to bask upon your word, to eat your word fully, Lord God. And Father, I pray for the Spirit to give us the understanding of your word. The understanding. And Father God, your strength. Your strength. In whatever we face. Father God, we praise you. We thank you. And we love you. In the name of Jesus, amen. Amen. Give everybody a big Christian hug this morning.